The Toolbox Show on Fix Radio with Andy Stevens. Brought to you by the Federation of Master Builders.
Good afternoon. We are live. We are here at the NEC for UK Construction Week. Yesterday was busy, but look around. Today, I think, is even busier. Get yourselves down here. There's some brilliant exhibitors, loads of prizes to be won, of course. There are about 4 million goodie bags you can load yourself up with. So come on down, as old Leslie Crowther used to say. Now, my new feature, Twag of the Week, definitely worth listening to this one. It's tradesmen's wives and girlfriends. Later in this show, we have Gemma, the girlfriend of a spark. She's live telling us all the pitfalls of living with her tradesman. That'll be later in the show, around 3:15. Now, an update on my battle with our Prime Minister, Theresa May. She's still not getting back to me, which makes me even more determined to get her on the show to explain her comments that all us trades are unskilled people. Now, we had a little chat last week, and coming after my chat with Nathan Garnett, the organiser of UK Construction Week, we put together a little mock-up of Theresa and I having a chat about some quite saucy things, so don't go anywhere for that. A little bit of construction news. Certainly locally, the HS2's released images of two new stations that are planned for the West Midlands. Curzon Street in central Birmingham is going to be the first new intercity station built in Britain since the 19th century, scheduled to open in 2026. So obviously that's a long way away, but more than likely they'll be a bit late, won't they? You know what us trades are like, probably having a sandwich and a cup of tea. And finally, the interchange station in Solihull is planned to serve Birmingham Airport and here, NEC National Exhibition Centre, and that is being built soon. As I say, up next, my guest is Nathan Garnett. He's the event organiser here at UK Construction Week. Fix Radio. We are live at the NEC UK Construction Week. What better guest to have than the man himself who is the event organiser, Nathan Garnett. Good afternoon, Nathan.
Good afternoon.
Now, you're obviously quite a busy man, I guess, so thank you for joining us.
No worries.
Today is a lot busier than yesterday, would you say?
Definitely, yeah, we're building up momentum. It's really busy today.
Now, there's a lot of people here, exhibitors, people coming in, obviously behind the scenes staff. How much preparation do you need? I mean, did this start several months ago, year ago?
We probably started planning for next year about a month ago. So, yeah, got floor plans ready. We're talking to new companies, thinking about, you know, who might be speaking next year. So, takes a while.
And I've noticed this year, speaking to some of the exhibitors here, a lot of people are here for the first time. So obviously, with them coming back and other new companies, this event's probably only going to get bigger.
Yeah, we've got some big brands now doing the show. So it's all about really, you know, being able to, if you're a roofing contractor, we want to make sure that if you come down here, there's enough for you. And this year, we've got masses of roofing products. And that goes for tools, health, safety, and so on. So we've got the momentum now that when you can come here, rest assured knowing that you'll be able to see all the products that you need. Loads of things you probably didn't think you'd need, like an exoskeleton vest, for example. There's loads to see. So yeah, we're really excited about how the show's growing.
You look at exhibitions and how they've changed over the last sort of 10, 20 years. It's obviously getting our eyes, the people that come into the exhibition. And if you take a walk around this year, you've got lorries in here, you've got cars, you've got racing games. Do you see a massive change in the way it's not just a stand with a few people giving out leaflets, but I mean, can you see what's coming next? Are we going to be having drones or anything?
Yeah, we've had drones. Trade shows shouldn't be boring. That's what our ethos is. It's about projecting how exciting this industry is. You guys enjoy what you do, we can see that. We enjoy what we do, and that's because it's such a fun industry. So what we're trying to do here is make it fun and get people immersed in what they can do in the industry and perhaps the new technologies and stuff that will help them. It should be fun, and there's loads of networking. We've got the beer festival and Rocky Oki tonight as well. So, I'm expecting you guys all to be on the stage.
We're all over. I must say that our sports king, Mr. Paul Burrell, may be a little bit worse for wear after. Like, it was a warm-up for the Rocky Oki tonight, so I've heard his voice. He's going to be brilliant. Now, just back to some of the exhibitors we've got here. As you know, I've got a small building company. I cannot believe the new products, new materials, new inventions coming on the market all the time. things such as jig tech, to me, the most obvious thing that's only just come out recently, they're talking about a new hinge placement tool as well. All these new products coming in, this event is just going to grow and grow and grow.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've got new generations coming in now as well. So very much we've seen our feedback from our visitors has been like, well, you know, we need a whole new generation of tradespeople. We know that. So we're inviting, you know, a lot of the colleges are coming along and they've got great ideas, these kids. Some of them, we had, in fact, the guy who opened the show was 9 years old and he designed one of the buildings in the show. So, and George Clark was impressed saying, hang on, this kid's got better ideas than I have. So, well, not strictly, but you know, but it's all about, it's all about innovation and allowing people to be creative and seeing what's out there. So, yeah, hopefully we can help engineer that and grow that.
I've got to say, I think it's a great thing to hear because one thing with Brexit coming up, obviously, in a few months and the lack of apprentices coming through, we've really got to address the next generation because the way I see it, in 10 or 20 years, we could almost be a specialist industry, not a mainstream industry. You know, people are moaning at plumbers and sparks being on 250, 300 quid a day. That's only going to go up. We've got very little apprentices coming through. So the likes of yourself and other exhibitions going into schools, colleges, bringing the youngsters through, that is only great for our industry.
Hopefully, yeah. I mean, we're doing a presentation in about an hour and a half on the stage where we've got all these role models from all different parts of the industry. So there's someone who works in a builder's merchant, we've got a plumber and so on, all the way through to the architects and civil engineers. And the idea is that we show these people as like beacons, if you like, to say this, they've had a great career, they really enjoy it, or they've just walked into the industry and explain why they did it so that we can encourage loads more people to do that. And that's something they then, those role models, will be going out to schools with us over the next 12 months.
I think the image of the construction industry until recently has been, if you're not very good at school or you're sort of kicked out early, I'll go and dig a hole for a living. There's a lot of us not doing too badly. You know, you look at some trades that are on good money, you've got engineers, project managers, health and safety execs, building control. It's not just an industry for tradespeople. There's a whole wealth of other skills and people that can earn good money and have great careers.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's just about getting that into the mainstream media. You know, you guys are doing part of that. We had BBC here as well yesterday, BBC Breakfast, and Birmingham Live, London Live today. Hopefully what that'll do is show that this is a well-paid, exciting career to have, and it's one with a future. I mean, we need these houses. So actually, if you're leaving school right now, this is a great career, and how can we get more and more people doing that?
Now, finally, Nathan, I've got a fairly important question. Obviously, it's Rocky Oaky in a bit later. Everyone here at Fix wants to know what you're singing and why.
Well, I've been told I can't sing Sweet Caroline because that's the preserve of the sales director. So I'm a bit out of ideas at the moment. I need to go and have a think, perhaps a lie down in a dark room and have a think about it.
Lie down in a dark room with a couple of pints always helps. Nathan Garnett, the UK Construction Week event organiser, thanks ever so much. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, Theresa May, our Prime Minister, and I are having a bit of a ruck at the moment. She was in the press recently, and I quote, "All tradespeople are low skilled." So I've been on the blower to her to get her on my show. It sounds a bit far-fetched, but trust me, she will be coming on. So what we've done in the meantime is we've mocked up a conversation of Theresa and I having a chat, and you can hear that up next. Our lovely PM, Theresa May, has basically slated us trades, saying we're low-skilled. She will come on my show. I know she will, because she has no choice. But in the meantime, last week we mocked up a little conversation of how it might sound if Theresa May, our PM and me, had a little chat. Theresa, I've heard you're doing your level one plastering apprenticeship. How long's it taken you?
70 years.
Blimey. So, Theresa, you obviously had a little bit of work done at number 10. How do you pay your trades then?
In cash.
Cash, eh, Theresa? Well, funnily enough, my guest today was from HMRC, so I'll give her a quick buzz and let her know that you like paying people in notes.
As you say, Andrew.
It's Andy.
Andrew.
Andy.
Andrew.
It's Andy. You seem to have dug yourself a bit of a hole, Theresa, calling us tradespeople low-skilled. How do you and the government feel you're going to turn us low-skilled people into skilled people?
Overall is the importance of government taking the right decisions to ensure we can... Excuse me.
Have a drink of water, love. Clear your throat. If you could have an hour in bed with anybody, who would it be and where?
Jeremy Corbyn in number 10.
Blimey, Jeremy Corbyn, are you serious? So when you and old Jezza Corbyn are getting busy. Are there any sort of ground rules that you'll lay down before the battle commences?
Hands can't be tied.
Thanks very much, Teresa. Now, if you want any work doing at number 10, I'm happy to give you my number off air, because myself and a load of the lads are very low skilled. So give us a buzz. Theresa May had me as if she was in the room at Fix Radio Studio. She is coming in, guaranteed, so keep listening. Coming up next, we have got another guest. It's Ian from the FIS Finishers and Interiors sector. And as I'm sure a lot of you are aware, it's World Mental Health Awareness Day today. So we're going to be talking about that in a bit more detail.
The Toolbox Show on Fix Radio, brought to you by the Federation of Master Builders.
I ain't gonna work for you no more.
Hue and cry on Fix Radio. I'm Andy Stevens, and this is The Toolbox Show. We have another great guest. His name is Ian from FIS Finishes and Interiors section. And today we're going to be talking about, obviously, the World Mental Health Awareness Day across the world. So we've got a hashtag, haven't we? Can you take us through the hashtag and obviously what you guys are doing here?
Yeah, sure, Andy. FIS is taking mental health awareness very seriously. It's a problem in the construction sector. One in four people suffer from some kind of mental health problem, and it's something we've got to address. Now, hashtag Builders Brew is a very simple way of us realising that sometimes it's just a 5-minute conversation. We need to take time out, over a cup of tea, have a chat about the problems that are facing us, or stress becomes anxiety, and anxiety leads to depression.
The sad statistic, every day two people in the construction industry sadly take their own life. It's only recently, the last couple of years, that charities such as the Lighthouse, other ones such as Band of Builders, have really started bringing this to the forefront of people's minds. Why do you think it's taken so long? Because it's a frightening statistic, and as we said, it's only getting worse.
I think it's always been there. Recently, I had the great honour to judge a Screwfix Tradesman of the Year competition. And as I listened to the various stories that people told me about how they were there in front of us as exemplar tradesmen, it really stood out for me how many of them had overcome some kind of anxiety or depression related problem. And at first, that really concerned me. But then as I thought about it a little bit deeper, I realised that now we're actually starting to talk about these things. So they've always been there. We're just now very much aware, and I think things like hashtag Builders Brew are sort of helping people to open the door to what I can actually do, how can I make a difference? And sometimes that's just recognising, putting your arm around somebody's shoulder and being there to talk.
I think the problem is, in the construction industry, we've got so many things which can go against us. There's a massive rise in tool theft and van theft at the moment across the country. There's record numbers of firms going bust in some areas because they're not being paid. You know, builders are very good with these things, but not with that. So we're not actually taught how to write a business plan, how to price a job, how to put contracts in place. And I think with all these things, sometimes it can get too much. But the point I want to make is, nobody sees this. The builder is often looked at as the big, strong, hard-working, leery guy on a job, but that is often a very misleading interpretation of really what's going on inside.
And I think there's actually a wider issue there. You know, we've seen the construction industry waking up to risk, and we're taught, you know, I'm an engineer by background, I'm not a tradesman, and I was taught risk from day one as an engineer, and construction is an engineering process. So, but when we teach trade, we teach people to adapt and to find solution on site. And it's almost the antipathy of managing risk. And so people are taking huge risks. They're realizing that, and they just don't know how to manage that. And again, we need to, organizations like the FIS are there to help provide a framework and to support people right down to the labor-only subcontractors, who fundamentally do carry a lot of risk in today's construction industry.
Again, another really sad thing with this illness, I think it's one of the hardest to recognize. I've got a small building company with various guys of all ages, and over the years we've all worked with many, many others. Bottom line is, it's so hard to see. You know, most of the time we've got the radio on, we're having a cup of tea, having a crack, you know, working hard. Yet, looking back, that I know for a fact there's been a couple of guys that have been really, really suffering. Do you think it's as easy as just maybe in the morning when we all get onto a job, onto a big site, just sort of saying to everyone, you're right, mate, fancy a cuppa, just to try and be that person? Because it's very difficult for some people to speak out about this.
I think that's exactly what the whole campaign is saying. It is just about 5 minutes. It's just about an arm around a shoulder. Banter's great. We all thrive off it in the construction industry. But sometimes the laughter leaves people's eyes, and we've just got to be aware of that.
Now, there's obviously more and more charities which are helping us. We've got the Lighthouse, Bill Hill, doing an amazing job down there with all of his staff. We've got Band of Builders who are doing a lot on this as well. It's now a lot easier to make that phone call, and also the Samaritans offer a text-only service. So if you're afraid of picking the phone up, you can just send them a text and communicate that way. So we're actually making it, as an industry, a lot easier for people to come forward and speak out.
And even through the NHS, there's lots of support mechanisms online, things you can read, mindfulness apps that you can download again. So there's an awful lot of stuff out there. And it's mentioning the Lighthouse charity. Again, if people go onto stand M112 at Construction Week, they can pick up a mug, and all the proceeds from the sale of the mugs are going towards that charity.
Could you give us the hashtag once more, and obviously what stand you're on, so everyone can wander over and see where you are?
It's hashtag Builders Brew, and it's stand M112.
Ian, thanks ever so much. We've got a new feature coming up in the next couple of minutes. It's called Twags. A lot of you are probably thinking, what's a twag? Well, I'll tell you what a twag is. It's a Fixed Radio brainchild. It's a tradesman's wives and girlfriends. So basically, it's the ladies' chance to come on air and have a right old moan up about these awful tradesmen they live with. We have two this week, both with their other halves being sparks. So they've obviously got plenty of money. Other halves never do any work. You know what the old sparks are like. So coming up in a couple of minutes, we've got two twags on Fix Radio.
Fix Radio.
We have got Twag of the Week. Let me just reinforce this. Twag is tradesmen's wives and girlfriends. It's the ladies' chance to have a right old moan up about their other halves. Now, with me this week, we've got a competition. We have two lovely ladies, Gemma on my left, Georgina on my right, and they're both married or going out with a spark. So first question is, what is the worst thing about your other halves? Is it the mess? Is it the dirty footprints? He leaves his tools lying around. This is your opportunity to have a proper moan up.
I would say getting up really early. The alarm goes off at 5:20 every morning. And instead of just like leaving the room and letting me sleep, he comes in and tries to have conversations with me, which isn't that fun when I don't have to be at work till later on in the day.
I can say the same actually. It goes off about 5:30, light goes on, the hair dryer's on, so yeah, I know all about it.
Hair dryer, yeah. So being a spark, he's obviously got really clean hands because he does absolutely sod all day. You obviously both have nice holidays. Sparks are millions, we know that. One thing which came about from us chatting earlier, you've got a bit of an issue, Gemma, with your other half. He's 22, which is obviously a young age,
but
he's getting a bit, let's say, chunky. Is that right?
Yeah, I would say I'm quite a keen, like, fit person. I like going to the gym, but he likes a beer and maybe like too many cakes, so he's putting on a little few pounds, getting a little bit of a tummy going.
Well, top tip.
Yeah.
Go and become a decent trade, proper trade. Get a bit of graft. Go and become a bricklayer or something, or even scaffolder, because then he can do a bit of exercise. Georgina, what is the worst thing about your other half? Is he fit, or is he a bit of a chunker that enjoys his cakes and beers as well?
Well, he is a bit of a gym bod. He loves to go to the gym every day. However, he's the one person I know who can eat a whole pack of biscuits in 2 minutes and not gain a bit of weight.
To be honest, part of the apprenticeship or college to become an electrician is eating other people's cakes and biscuits. Now, one thing I've noticed on all my jobs, I've got a brilliant electrician called Nick, early 50s, really, really talented. He's never, ever, ever, ever used a broom. Does your other halves ever touch the Hoover or broom? Or being a spark, it is highly unlikely, I'd imagine.
Only recently, because we moved in together and he's got to take on some of the chores as well.
And Gemma?
I would say nothing at all. No dusting, no hoovering, no, there's clothes all over the floor. He's never done any washing, so it's all me.
Now, finally, if there's one thing you could change about your other half, apart from being a spark, what would it be and why? Gemma, kick us off.
Mine would be like what I previously mentioned, maybe get him to go to the gym and maybe get a six pack instead of having six packs of beers.
Mine would be pick your dirty clothes up off the floor because it builds up my washing pile, and not be able to get away with eating that many biscuits all the time because it's just not fair.
Ladies, thank you. I'm sure the other halves are listening. I think there might be an interesting couple of conversations later on tonight. I'm Andy Stevens. We are live, Fix Radio, at UK Construction Week at the NEC. And I've got to say, don't go anywhere, because I've got my rant. Now, my rant, running a building company, I as all of us here are aware, you have issues. You have material price rises, lack of apprentices, labourers going AWOL. And this week's rant is about a kitchen company that has completely and utterly destroyed me.
Fix Radio.
Let the rant begin.
Kitchen companies, I've had it with them. I'm end of my tether, spitting feathers, I'm livid. As you remember, I had a moan up a few weeks ago about this lot. However, it's gone mad. We are now a month late on one job and another one. We're 3 weeks behind schedule because of their total inability to deliver a kitchen in one piece. Damaged doors, wrong size end panels, missing handles, appalling drawings to work to, bits missing, the list goes on. We all had to take out the base units because the measurements were wrong by the designer, refit them, raise the legs by 2 inches to bring them level with the oven. The worktop upstand was the wrong side, so we ripped that off, another one went on, more delays. And then you guessed it, the fancy glass splashback was too small, smashed it off, another one ordered, more delays. And this thing was measured by a 25 grand measuring tool. How on earth can they get this wrong? I know they struggle using the tape measure, these designers, but crikey. Something that does it for them, they have no hope. As for the bits that are wrong, how difficult is it to read a product code, pick it, and put it on the back of a lorry? Surely not that hard. Well, maybe it is. Perhaps they should go back to school and learn to read. My 4-year-old boy reads better than them. It's not hard, is it? And do they seriously think we're going to put on a door that's got a massive scratch on it or an end panel that's the wrong colour? Even cowboys wouldn't lash it up that badly, so we certainly won't. So with us being 3 and 4 weeks behind on both jobs, who's going to pay my lads? Me? Why on earth should I pay them out of my pocket for their list of mistakes? Seriously, it ain't happening. There's no point in saying you won't pay for this, because you will. That's the end of it. Because I'm going to be skint for you, and I tell you what, I'm not putting it up with it anymore. No way. So, we have two choices here. You pay what's owed, or we deal with it the other way. And I'm sure you won't want a lorry load of concrete in your showroom. Even you couldn't put a kitchen on top of that. Now, sort it out.
Andy Stevens on Fix Radio.